Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
I welcome you to the Nerdist Podcast, number 142. The Nerdist guys, I guess I'm one of them. Hello, third person. Anyway, we're coming to a city near you if you live in Northampton, Washington, D.C., Boulder, Colorado, Austin, Texas, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Madison, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, or Iowa City, Iowa. Go to Nerdist.com/calendar for dates and tickets, which are now available freely for purchase. Well, they're not free. They're freely available. They're not available for free. I gotta fly those guys out. It's expensive. It's like having kids, Matt and Jonah. It really is like having kids sometimes. I guess. I don't know. I don't have kids. But I would imagine it'll be a lot like that, but with less pooping. Say, if your earbuds are in a shit state, then you should go to tweakedaudio.com/nerdist, where Nerdist listeners get $10 off earbuds. So, I think they're like $19 for some kick-ass earbuds. And the people there are really nice, too. So, tweakedaudio.com/nerdist. And now, our hostful episode, number 142.
Now entering nerdist.com.
Here, hop onto your microphone there, J-Ray.
I'm just trying to dispute the fact that this is probably not good.
Dispute it because it's me saying it, but I'm just
no, not at all. I just don't think it.
I don't know if I can eat soy chips. Internet, tell me.
Clarence Boddicker.
Oh, Clarence Boddicker.
Just give me my fucking phone call.
Bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
We have a review from Cosmopolitan Magazine saying, even better than potato chips, delicious.
Okay.
That's wrong.
Also, how to give your boyfriend intense orgasms.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that in there?
That's on Cosmo, usually.
I used to read Cosmo just to try and see how I can give myself better orgasms.
What happened?
They're the best.
Started jerking off to Cosmo.
Yeah, I started jerking off to Cosmo. It was a better orgasm.
Was it? That's good.
Just tense up. Just tense up.
Non-GMO soy.
Punch yourself in the balls right at the moment of...
Yeah. What was that old movie, Losing It? Where the guy... I can't remember where they go to Mexico to try and like
lose their virginity.
Yep. And he says if you like scream at the top of your lungs while you're coming for the first time, it'll be amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, but only for the first time?
Not any
subsequent
time? So how
do
you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I guess you don't know.
I would have been a lot younger, and my parents would have wondered... what was happening?
No, I think it meant it was sex.
Oh.
What's that? The sex.
What's that now?
The sex?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a movie.
Oh. It means six.
Mm-mm. Not the Blossom character, six.
Oh,
sex.
Jettavon Oy.
Guys, we have some live dates.
We do.
I don't know if you know, but I wanted to let you know.
We're having a date with Jenna Von Oy?
We are not going on a date with Jenna Von Oy. But how many times do I have to tell you?
But the girl who played Kimmy Gibbler, we're all going on a date with her.
Hey, yeah. I guess. Oh, yeah.
A little thin for my tastes.
Well, she's a perfect snack size for old Chris Hardwick. here we go. We're gonna be touring the podcast. The podcast shows have been going well enough live that we are now getting offers to go to other cities.
AK, I haven't fucked up yet.
You've not.
You have, but people just have kind of,
oh, they got over it,
you know,
God.
Not
oh
cared,
God.
I guess.
I couldn't believe it.
So here's what, first of all, thank you to people who've come out to our live shows that have showed the promoters. Yes, people will come out and see you jerks. So We do have some dates coming up in 2012, starting in March. Boulder, Colorado at the Boulder Theater. Austin, Texas at the Stateside at the Paramount. The Trocadero in Philly, also in March. The Variety Theater in Atlanta. And then in April, we're at the Majestic in Madison. And we're also doing Milwaukee.
I hear good things about the Majestic.
We're going to be doing the Varsity Theater in Milwaukee. And then also the Vic in Chicago during C2E2, which I am fucking way psyched up about.
That's consumer and something. What is that?
I'm a little freak.
C2 and E2, I always forget what it stands for.
It stands for the...
Consumer electronics?
No. There's stores. No comics. C2E2. Comics, collectibles, entertainment, and
Expo.
Extraterrestrials.
Expo? Yeah. Comic Collectible Entertainment Expo?
I would go with that. Yeah. I think it's the Comic Collectible Entertainment Expo.
Oh my God.
Glad we figured that out.
Let's see how much money I can spend there.
Glad we figured that out.
Oh my God, we have to keep you the fuck out of there.
Reese, everybody.
We have to keep you out of there. There was so much Doctor Who stuff last year and so many great t-shirts. C2E2 is a great con. I was there this past year and it was fucking awesome.
You brought us back t-shirts.
I did bring you back t-shirts.
What t-shirts?
Doctor Who t-shirts.
I do have to say the Vic is a very large venue, and I'm a little freaked out.
The Chicago one.
Yeah, it's almost 1,000 seats. So
I feel like C2E2
for the love
people,
of Christ, please come out to that.
If you're going to C2E2, also come to us.
Then we're going to be doing Iowa City on April 14th.
Nice.
Iowa City, Iowa. Birthplace of William Shatner's character, Captain Kirk.
There you go. So we'll be doing those shows, and more will be added. We're going to be adding more shows as well. Going to be a busy year for the old Nerdist crew.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Should
you
be
guys.
Fun.
Oh my God.
Look, Minneapolis. Looking forward to Minneapolis. I've never been there.
You haven't?
No.
You will fucking fall in love with Minneapolis.
The home of some of my favorite bands.
I only hope that it's not a. I only hope it's not an ice That's wonderland when we're there, because Minneapolis is one of those cities where you go and you're like, holy shit, there's an intelligent group of people here. The architecture is gorgeous. There's a theater culture. People go see live shows. There's a lot of great musicians and writers and artists. The company that did the Hard and Firm pilot for IFC, Time Hole pilot, Puny, is based in Minneapolis.
Yeah, Puny's around there.
Fantastic. St. Paul, great guitar shops.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
And so then, why is it funny that some of my favorite bands...
Oh, yeah, legendary guitar shops in St. Paul.
Why is it funny that some of my favorite bands are from...
It's just funny that's what you say. I say Captain Kirk and you say your favorite bands.
It's very much us. That's you guys are your characters, all right.
Yeah.
And so, but... And you go, and so you go there when there's good weather, and you're like, why doesn't everyone move here forever?
And then
you realize that 9 months out of the year, it's uninhabitable by thin-skinned pussies who are used to Hawaii and California.
Pussy. That's my favorite kind.
No, you don't have to break through the skin to fuck it. No.
Well, I thought it should always bleed.
No. There's hymen is a one-shot deal. It's disposable. It's like a one-shot. It's like contact. It's like the contacts that you throw away. Like that's
like
a hymen.
Contact with Jodie Foster.
Yes.
Okay.
Where she lost her virginity to.
But like
on
they
the
thought she
on the
was
pinball
like,
machine.
It
the,
felt like forever for
no,
her.
No, I don't think that's what contact
and then
was.
She came back. Yeah. And I mean, Dr. Lecter.
Yeah.
No, I remember that.
Sent someone
like
in a spinning ring,
and then
who was
someone
dressed
killed
like
her
Chris
husband,
Isaac.
Saeed.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then she locked herself in that room.
With her daughter, she was in that room.
And another movie.
And then at the very end, she switched places with her mom.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
That was a freaky Friday.
That's if there ever was one.
Yep. I sometimes think The Accused was the sequel to Freaky Friday, and they just took a different turn.
Yeah. She knew what she was doing.
I'm not going into this. This is a dangerous road. Yeah. Stricken from the record. What else do we have going on? What are you guys up to this week?
Attack the Show stuff. A lot of fun. We had Tyrese come in today, which was actually way more fun than I thought it would be.
Tyrese Gibson.
That's all you need. Just Tyrese.
The actor
from
model.
The Transformers and the current number one R&B single. But anyway, he's afraid of owls. So we had Blar, one of our PAs, dress up like an owl, and then he tackled it. And it was much funnier than I thought it would be.
And do you feel like he conquered this weird owl fear?
I hope so.
Boy, that poor guy, if he went to Hogwarts, he would shit his pants every time he got mail.
We almost sent someone to Whimsic Alley to go buy a stuffed...
Whimsic Alley is baffling to me. First of all, I love that it's there. But Whimsic Alley is a Harry Potter-themed store on Wilshire Boulevard, not far from the G4E Studios. But what's weird about it is...
I thought it was made up.
Well, I thought it was just like a pop-up shop for when one of the last Harry Potters, but it's still there, and they do like all sorts of events there.
It's like it's for kids' parties, right?
But what's the thing that's weird about it and baffling to me is that this is a very expensive stretch of real estate.
This is Miracle Mile.
We're Miracle. That must be part of the miracle.
Yes, that's true.
But so that's why, like, I would feel like, oh, Whimsicalli, that I can see that popping up in Burbank. Or downtown, you know, regional references, but Miracle Mile is very expensive, and they look like they have a healthy sized storefront.
They've been
there
for a while now, a couple years.
Yeah, I think so.
I was fascinated by it. Like, I wished I liked Harry Potter more, just so I could spend money on
Pottermore.
What?
The website. Yeah.
Have you been there?
I've been programmed by J.K. Rowling to.
Is it a store? I thought it was just like
a
place.
It's a store.
It's a place for like kids to have Harry Potter themed parties and stuff.
I'm pretty sure you can buy a Hogwarts costume if you want.
And probably have like
uniform.
They probably have like nightly meetings of like spell castings and defense against the dark arts and things of that nature.
Yeah.
DDA.
Yep, a little bit of DDA. There was big news this week where David Yates, who directed a lot of the Harry Potter movies,
good director,
said that he just kind of spilt out there that he was wanted to do a Doctor Who movie.
I like how you go from beta. He wanted to do
Doctor Who movie, which, you know, I'm off for that. But I think, but what he said upset a lot of the Whovian hooligans. I also hooligan is another term that we use for them, because he kind of said it's one interpretation might be that what he was saying was that the series was all well and good. But they were just going to start over with the movie.
Well, you could do like an origin story.
That would be
fine.
That's
what I thought. I thought that would be kind of cool if they did an origin story.
That would be fine if they did an origin story.
You finally see the Kobayashi Maru. What?
I would love to see the Kobayashi Maru in the Whoverse. Right? Yeah, he beat the Kobayashi Maru in kind of a shady way.
Yeah. What he did was he faked his death.
So a lot of the Who fans freaked out because they sort of interpreted that to mean, oh, you know, this 50 years worth of canon, he's just going to throw out the window and start over.
Partner with it.
Yeah, and I think they felt a little upset by that. And so, listen, I talked to the BBC myself because I wanted to know what the deal was, and they were like, listen, we don't even have a script yet. We don't know what...
Chris Hardwick rarely calls people on things.
I called
so
the BBC.
That important to him.
I called Ed BBC, the guy who owns BBC.
It's pronounced Babessi.
Babessi. It's Babessi, actually.
No.
Sorry.
Babessi. Sounds more Italian.
Hey.
Yeah.
No,
how
it's a Babessi.
It's
a Babessi. Babessi sounds like an adorable Italian pup that lives on your farm.
Babessi.
But he... so I asked, I spoke to someone at the BBC and they were like, listen, there's no script yet. It's very premature to say what's going to happen with it. So, you know, I was able to tell everyone like, don't freak out yet. Let's not do standard internet fare and freak out before we have all the facts. You know, no one said anything yet. I think, you know, some of the Hollywood publications just sort of took that story and ran with it. But, you know, all I would say is this, you got to be careful. You know, you have to ask yourself, who would go see a Doctor Who movie? Well, Doctor Who fans.
I'm going.
Because in the States, you know, there are Doctor Who lovers, and then there are non-Doctor Who lovers. And the non-Doctor Who lovers, there's a good chance they might not, if they saw a trailer for a Doctor Who movie, go, I'm going to rush out and see that.
Well, it's kind of like when Serenity came out.
Right. And very, like, very strong following.
But I had never heard of Firefly, and I was working at the ArcLight at the time. And then when the Serenity, trailer came on, it was weird because I had no idea what Firefly was, and I was watching the trailer going, this seems like it's from something. This seems like it's from something else, and I'm not picking up on stuff. And I have a feeling that would be the case if they did a Doctor Who thing. Like, they're acting like I should know all this stuff.
Well, I think you just have to be very mindful that the people that are going to go see that movie are very attached to the Whoverse, and you don't want to upset them, or they will not go see your movie. And they're pretty much your... They're gonna be your bread and butter.
New internet provider.
They're gonna be your fish fingers and custard.
I want
AT&T
Hoovers.
Oh,
that would be a great internet provider.
That would be amazing.
It's probably pretty fast.
500 terabytes down.
What?
I know. Well,
I once read how big the hard drive of the Enterprise D was, and it was in an amount that I still don't remember.
What?
Good story, right, guys?
Especially like the ending where it fizzled out.
It was a number I'd never heard of.
Yeah,
like it was so many terabytes that I had never heard of it.
A Google byte.
It was way more than that. Like, Data's walking around with a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, if, like, he's
Data.
He's basically a walking smartphone.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
By the way, I saw
his
the
touch interface is fully operational.
It sure is. He experiences
especially
human emotions
when he touches interface.
I saw the I saw the actor Sean Marr, who plays Dr. Simon Tam on Firefly, today in a Starbucks. Thought about saying hi to him, but didn't. This story didn't end well. Should have thought of that
like
before I started talking. And then I jerked off.
GNDN. Goes
you know, with those with sightings like that, with people who are marginally certainly known, but not like super, super famous, I always feel like, you know, if I went up to him, I always run the risk of, like, there's a good chance that he might know who I am. And so then he won't go in, you know, he might not feel like I'm assaulting him in public as much. I'm like, because what I want to say is like, you're awesome on Firefly.
Well, if you said it like that,
you're really good. How's River? Is she still kicking people but not knowing why?
It's fictional, sir. That's what he would say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what just happened to me a second ago. Enjoy
right
your coffee.
Right now, there's a Carrie Fisher like a video where she's talking about how Star Wars is better than Star Trek. And there's also a William Shatner video of talking about why Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
Those are both excellent.
Yeah, yeah. But they're both very sad.
Are they?
Well, you know, Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher is just sadder, right? It has to be.
She just, you know.
I love.
The booze and drugs
didn't do
well.
I enjoyed watching. I was in a store once, in a department store, and Carrie Fisher was walking around, and she had an assistant, and her assistant's name is Michael. And the reason I know her assistant's name is Michael is because he kept disappearing, and then she just, like she wasn't in public, just kept going, Michael!
Yeah.
Michael! Michael, where are the keys? Like, it was a lot of...
Wow. Yeah.
It was a lot of that.
Did you see your One Woman show, Wishful Drinking?
Why would you do that to yourself?
What?
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know. Seems like an interesting story. She
did
has a... Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. She wrote, I mean, like, her parents have, like,
a
crazy history.
She wrote
you know.
Postcards from the Edge, eh?
Yeah.
Right?
No, she's a good writer.
She wrote Postcards from the I don't think she directed it.
She's a very good writer.
To the internet!
She was super hot for 3 years.
Booze I didn't realize
pills,
how tiny...
Pills and booze.
I didn't realize how tiny she...
I like that song.
Yeah.
Pills and booze. Pills.
Did you just take booze and pills and put it in the Spider-Man theme?
Yeah, you could do it with anything. Try it.
Jonah Ray. Jonah Ray.
Oh, that's a good song.
Matt Myra.
It doesn't work.
Because I have three syllables. You need pills and booze or Jonah Ray.
Pills and booze.
You just...
Why does yours work?
Jonah Ray. Postcards was Mike Nichols.
If it went Myra Matt, that would work.
Myra Matt.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with one of those Myra mats where you can get your Myra cleaned.
Yeah.
Ah, shit. I was supposed
to go
to the
We got a new Myra mat cover for the back of the car.
The Myra mats. The Myra mat was really great.
Yeah. Cottage industry, you guys. I could sell them.
You're going to do it?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? What are you up to this week, Jonah Ray?
This week, I've just been working and I've been cooking a lot at home. I started working out at a gym near my house.
How's that feeling?
Horrible. It's horrible. It feels worse than... Like, you know, waking up hungover.
But ultimately, it'll feel better in the long run. You know why you're getting into shape?
Because we're doing 5 Nerdist TV specials on the BBC America. Because I didn't like... I was okay with my first 2 chins on that on that special. But the other 3, I wasn't a big fan of. So I'm going to scale it back.
You're going to give them the pink slip.
Yeah. But then also just getting ready for Deanna's art show, which is this Friday. When is this going up? Friday?
This will go up before Friday.
Tonight. So this Friday then.
Yeah.
At Meltdown.
Would you say this Friday?
It's tonight, guys. Hurry up and get there.
It's good. It's going to be good. Like, I've seen some of the pieces coming in from, like, Eric Capel, who's a really good director and writer guy.
Yep. Neil Mahoney's
on there. Got Julie Vickerman from Yo Gabba Gabba.
Sweet.
Yeah, a lot of awesome people.
That's awesome. That's Friday night.
This Friday
what
night.
Time?
Yeah. Starts at 7, goes 7 to 10.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm going to hit that too. I'll go to that. And I'm also going to, I Am 8-Bit has a cool thing going on.
Where are they now? Are they still on Hollywood Boulevard?
No, they're fucking way down like Echo Park on West Sunset, like right before downtown, like near Alvarado. Yeah.
Yuppers. It's their own, or is it just
their own
new
store?
It's their own store.
As far as I know.
Wow. I had no idea they moved.
Yeah.
Because I know they moved after the year they left. Gallery 1988, Jensen's Gallery. They went to a place on Hollywood Boulevard.
I believe they have moved on.
Yeah,
to another location.
Yeah,
on the east side.
Back to us.
I also showed my girlfriend the movie In Bruges.
Oh, God, that is a fucking great movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very, very, very good movie.
That's another one of those movies that sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, this is a playful romp. Oh, murderous, lovable people.
Yeah, just the way it reveals itself throughout the entire thing.
It just fucking takes that turn, and then you're like, holy shit, Colin Farrell's awesome.
It's like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang in that, like... That
another
sort
great
of
movie.
Same, like, sort of like, you don't, you're like, well, this could be.
Yeah.
And then you watch it, it's like, oh, fuck, it's great.
Yeah, I love it. And just makes me want to go to Bruges.
Let's
just
do
like,
it.
It's just so Nerdist beautiful.
Podcast Bruges.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Do we have to murder someone?
I want to drink some brews and Bruges. Bruges and Bruges.
We're going to.
Pails and booze.
Rhymes with. But the. I do want to squeak this bit of information out.
Sweep.
Dream, the Nerdist TV show. We're doing 5 specials. The first one's airing Christmas Eve. And it'll be like an hour long wrap up of like sort of the best nerd events of 2011. We're putting some good guests in place. It'll be fun. And then about every other month we'll have another special that sort of lands around. I think it's very smart what they're doing. They're putting us around bigger event programming. Because usually when if a show gets picked up, they just let it run. Wait, and they're like, best of luck to you.
Is a network setting something up to succeed?
I know it's weird, Matt. No, it's very difficult to wrap your mind around this. That a network would make intelligent decisions based on how to build an audience around a show. But
like
this is what's
the second
happening.
Half of a good show?
Well, this one, in our case, is going to work out very well for us.
Yes.
And it'll be a lot of fun. Turning to other matters, we have a guest in the studio today. Tedder, do you want to grab that microphone?
Slide that over. Get up on that shit.
Hey, Ted. Hello. How's it going?
There you go.
Good. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
So, Ted, before we get to who you are, I am fighting with Wikipedia, which is a bit like trying to punch the wind. Yes. So, essentially, and the reason
it's like trying to punch the wind. Just in case you didn't know.
Todd Glass would have loved that.
Jonah.
Todd Glass would have
Jonah,
loved.
Until we get that digital soundboard you want.
Yeah, you're right.
We have to use Myra Winslow.
Setting the scene.
So.
You pick me up at the Myra mat.
Pew, bang, 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 bang.
Honk, honk.
Mahoney.
Live fire.
So.
The mimic.
Here's what happened. Someone made a Nerdist podcast page, which was very nice. Was that you?
No,
okay.
But I saw
someone made a Nerdist podcast page on Wikipedia, little brief description of the podcast, and then they took it upon themselves, which I greatly appreciated, to build a table which lists the episode number, the guest, the date, you know, links the guest to their pages and whatnot. It's very useful information. Several months ago, someone pulled this down for some reason. So I said on Twitter, that sucks. Someone went to the time of building this table. It got pulled down. So Twitter responded with, you know, someone said, hey, you know, you can just roll that back. Did you roll it back?
Nope, but okay. I saw that happening.
Someone else rolled it back for us, put the table back up.
So far, you've done nothing.
So far, I've done nothing.
We're getting to Ted's contribution.
I'm just trying to build it up.
So then it got pulled out again. And listen, in the grand scheme of things, probably not the most important thing in the world.
It's like third most.
But now I'm starting to feel a little protective of our information because Wikipedia, for better or for worse, is always going to be one of the top searches. Research results.
The joy of SEO.
The joy of SEO. Yes, it is very high search engine optimization, and because you know the
Chris,
because
it's the Nerdist. You don't need to say that. You can just say
I just SEO. Didn't want to repeat SEO. It's got a lot of high. It's got a high SEO. No one says that. No one says SEO. No, it's SEO. So for me, I feel like it's important because you would only ever go to the Nerdist podcast Wikipedia page if you knew what the podcast was, and if you go there. It's nice to see that information. I feel it's very relevant. So there's a thread off the podcast page where the guy who keeps taking it off explained why he feels that it's useless information and that it's extraneous. And then there's another guy who's a fucking douchebag. I responded with a very polite, hey, guys, I totally hear what you're saying. But, you know, we have a community of listeners and this is relevant to them and. You know, their argument was that there's only one or two paragraphs about the podcast, so it doesn't warrant a list of every guest. But my point is, the guests are pretty much every episode, and that makes them the most relevant information available. And so Orange Mike's response was, this isn't Facebook. And I was just like, fuck you.
What does that even mean?
What it means is that he's saying that I'm a fucking idiot because I think Wikipedia is a social network. So that's him condescending to me as someone who doesn't, quote unquote, get it. That was totally uncalled for, to basically suggest that I'm a fucking moron, that I don't understand, you know. That
now, does this guy work for Wikipedia?
No one works for Wikipedia in official. I mean, like, they do have employees.
Yeah, they have employees, but it's unpaid. You're doing this in
It's
your
open
spare
source.
Time.
It's a community. It's a community run effort. Yeah. Guys like Ted are generous enough to donate their time to keep, you know, just keep the pages as accurate as they can. My argument is, information on my personal page for months and months, I could not get changed. I would change stuff. I would correct stuff and say, this is me. And they would correct it back. There's a policy against autobiographical correction because they don't want people to go on and be like.
But when you modified that stuff on your page,
yeah.
Because I went back and I'm not sure if you saw, I sent you the links on that. But when you went back and modified that, you didn't say anything. You just like changed the information. So nobody knew
that
it was you.
I thought it would have logged my username that I was the one who did
that. Your name, but nobody knows that's for sure you.
Oh, I am Spamwick on Wikipedia.
Yes,
So now you have that citation source. So, and can I tell you that what happened? What is kind of disturbing about what happened with my personal page in Wikipedia is that because the information was wrong for so long, it literally caused like a mini crisis within my family. Because none of them understand how the internet works. And so separate sides of my family, I had to put out fires. My mother was convinced that I was ashamed of her because her name was wrong and
her occupation was wrong.
Yeah. Like, and she was like sincerely hurt. Were you ashamed of me? My half brother, I got a drunken text from my half brother one night upset because he thought we had a sister named Emily and no one ever told him. My dad was wondering who this fake brother Peter was. Like, it really actually kind of caused
problem.
Like
the Peter problem.
The Peter problem. I thought it was funny for a long time. I mean, I have since
hello, episode name.
I have since the Peter problem.
Yeah.
I have since started referring
let
to.
Let's just let it happen.
I have since started referring to my pre 2003 life change self as Peter Hardwick.
When people are like the chunkier drinking guy.
Yeah. When people are like, yeah, you were great in Terminator 3. You were fatter than I'm like, no, that was Peter. That was my brother Peter. So what upsets me is to be condescended at by Orange Mike when what basically that says to me is true information isn't as valid, is not as important as us following and interpreting these weird guidelines where you can't list your episodes. I would understand if they were bound texts and space was an issue, but it is the internet and it is not extraneous information. We're not adding conjecture. It is very factual information.
Why not? Just another page of list of episodes right on the corner.
I don't understand why we can't have just a list of episodes on our site.
Exactly.
Like every television show does.
That's one of the answers.
Because I have to build that myself.
But someone else did.
But you can add a wiki to your site that lets your fans do it.
Yeah, and that's a great solution, Ted, and I'm totally behind you on that. But I guess I'm torqued at the whole idea that someone's being officious. And they're being a pencil pusher, and they're like, well, the guidelines say, and first of all, they're fucking wrong because other shows list their episodes and no one's shitting on that.
Yeah. And then there's the policy that says don't compare it to other pages because they might not be right.
But there's enough precedent to prove that.
But the point is that at what point do you say that information is crap and it's not worth being on Wikipedia, right? Like if I have a podcast of my cats making noises,
I want to
know, you know
about that.
You want the episode listings? No way should that be on Wikipedia.
But if Bryan Cranston, I mean, like the people that are on our shows have their own Wikipedia pages, that makes them relevant. You know, that totally makes them relevant. And it's not, you know, it is an issue where the community of people who listen to the show care and they would like to see that information.
So it's a chicken in the egg in that way, which is, things on Wikipedia are supposed to be sourced from somewhere else. Your correcting your mom was sourced to podcast 90, where you talked about that.
Right.
All the other information when you were born, that all comes from, you know, whenever someone writes an article about you. It's not supposed to begin on Wikipedia. It's supposed to begin elsewhere.
But
and come there.
I understand that that may have been great for when Wikipedia first started, but I think the people that are running Wikipedia, like this volunteer group of people who, by the way, I understand it's a tremendous undertaking, but the fact of the matter is Wikipedia has grown and maybe it's not used the way that you guys think it's being used. People use it as an encyclopedia. An encyclopedia should have as much valid, comprehensive information as possible. when space is not an issue.
But an encyclopedia is still supposed to summarize what exists elsewhere.
Because an encyclopedia, there's a space issue with encyclopedias.
Well, there's the two issues, the space and then how do you prove that it's correct? How do you keep from identifying your mom wrong?
Sure.
So that rule is in there, I think, because of that. This idea that we're going to mirror what someone else says. So you can't just say, I know the answer and I can put it on the page. You refer to me to know the answer, but instead it's here's a place where you can look it up. Here's a place where that information is kept.
Yeah.
And so again, it's the chicken and the egg.
Well, I just feel like what's happening is a guy who is
came first.
One guy. And a lot of the people on Wikipedia have been very nice. Like there's another user on there who is against putting up the list, but he's very fair. I am all for reasonable. For reasonable discourse. Like if a guy, but you know, the one guy pissed me off so bad because he just immediately talked down to me, like I don't fucking get it. And
yeah, that obviously pushed a button with you, didn't it?
Well, because I didn't start out by going, "Hey, you fucking jerks, what the fuck?" I was like, "Hey guys, you know, this is really important to our listeners, and you know, it is. We do feel it's valuable information, and I feel like Wikipedia is, you know, for the community, and the community kind of wants this, and can we just have it?" And so to be slapped down by saying like, "Hey moron, this isn't a fucking social network," is like. Why is that necessary?
I think that with putting the episodes up there, that a lot of people kind of have this thing where it's all about the volume. So if you're putting out a show, 12 times a year, no big deal. You put up, you know, the listing of the 12 of them. If you're doing a show that's every night, you may not put it up. Now, there are examples that are, but, you know.
But why does the volume matter when space isn't an issue? It's the internet.
Because now you've got to go out and prove it somewhere else.
Because what?
You've got to go out and prove that
is correct.
But
our episodes are easy to prove.
Yes,
they're up. They're up. Yes. Several other places are up on the website. They're up on Libsyn. They're up on iTunes.
True.
Their argument isn't whether or not the information is verifiable. Their argument is that the information is extraneous and useless.
It's notability of the information. Yeah.
But I feel like when you look at the guests that we have on, those are all notable. Those are notable guests with pages in their own right. And so I feel like that because they're the focus of each episode, that makes it notable.
Yes.
And yeah, I know. I mean, the truth of the matter is I will go build a page on Nerdist that has the complete list of episodes. I probably should have done that a long time ago, and that's fine. But, you know, to be contentious about this one point just because someone's – because the one guy who wants it down, he doesn't listen to the podcast. And so at what point do you guys – I mean, that's like walking into a classroom and being like, you know what? I don't get Catcher in the Rye, so you guys shouldn't fucking be able to read it. They're like, wait, just because you don't get it?
There's a bias against expertise. Which is, you know, it's supposed to be kind of accessible to everyone. But what it means is that you do get that. It's like, well, I don't care about the show, so therefore that information doesn't belong.
Exactly.
And instead of saying people who've listened to it, you can kind of get an idea of what's important and what isn't and add that in there.
I feel like if the community of people who listen to the podcast would like to see the complete listing of podcasts on Wikipedia, which is easily verifiable, then that makes it just as valid as any other piece of information on there. And who is one person who doesn't care about the podcast or know it or understand it to say that information isn't valid? That's fucking fascist. That's not even...
Fascist!
It is. It is one person deciding, like, that's not important. Really? Because you don't know it? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, but they're doing it over there. Nah, I don't care. It's not important here.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that's where...
There's selective interpretation of rules, too.
There is. Yes. There is. So... That aside, I will say you've been amazing and you've been very cool about reaching out. And I'm not sure that you 100% agree that the episodes should be listed on the page, but I do appreciate that you are polite and civil and you are willing to talk about it.
Well, I'm a fan of both, right? I mean, I've watched every Nerdist podcast. I've been here for WebSoup a bunch. I thought you looked familiar. Yes, that's why.
Yeah.
I know you're
trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a fan of both. It's like, how can I make this work?
He found it.
Did I?
From the Apple Store.
Well, they don't want you to update your own page, so Matt Myra can bench trucks.
I had to just, like, change information to make it correct by putting my birthplace as the correct place. That's what I did. Anyway, but I'm just saying.
I had done it just because to update. Because it's almost kind of like a resume. So, like, sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm working on this show now. I just,
well,
you know.
Look at the IMDb lawsuit, right? The, you know, you showed my age and you can't do that. It's the same sort of thing. You've got information out there.
I love their response to that. Did you see that today?
What?
The Amazon and IMDb's response to the woman's lawsuit.
Yeah. What was it?
There was like, we think we know who this person is and they're being anonymous, that they don't want us to say that she is 40 years old. and it's like ripping her, and there's like, this is not.
Well, the thing that sucks about that is that, you know,
what sucks about it is the business that she's
well,
in.
Here's the thing:
takes such a high priority.
Everyone
on
knows
age.
That the business is over when you're 40, and Chris, that's got to be terrible knowing that.
Ted, you piece of shit.
Here's a good story.
You know, Ted, you don't see it coming because he's so yeah, sincere, exactly. And then so whack.
Yes. John Ross Bowie, who's a really awesome UCB sketch performer, writer guy, he wrote his own pilot for a network, and he wrote it for himself, and then they were just saying, you know what? It's you're not going to be the star of the pilot you wrote for yourself. And he's like, oh, well, can I at least audition for it? And they're like, sure. So he goes through the audition process and he's killing it. And they're everyone.
Is that because he fucking wrote the thing and he knows how it's supposed to be played?
Exactly. And so like he keeps on moving up, and then they do a test audience or like, you know, or like the testing groups and stuff like that. And like he's up for the part.
Death of any show, the testing group.
But he's up for the part. And then some executive finds out that he's about 40, and they're like, well, he can't play that part then.
Right.
And then they cut him out because of that.
Now, it is shitty, and I do feel bad for this woman. I mean, on the one side, yeah, it's public record information. So is your address.
No, but the Amazon's also like, this woman also contacted us 3 years ago.
Yes.
To change her age to make her younger.
Okay, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The business is very shitty. It is. Particularly to women. The business is so shitty to women.
On age, but also on publicity.
Do you know what would be interesting is to send two people in an audition and have a really old-looking 25-year-old and a really young-looking 40-year-old have them audition and then tell everyone how old they really are and see what the reactions are.
Fat Tyra and Skinny Tyra.
What's the... Oh, man, the Onion News Network did a great version of the like people go, the newscasters going out in fat suits. For one of their shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so good. I walked around like a fat person would, and the guy just keeps on running into tables and bumping into people. They were looking at me like I was some kind of monster.
They fucking nail it every time.
Every time.
Anyway, I want to get back to Wikipedia for a second, because I apologize.
No,
I mean, listen, Ted, I don't want to be a whiner. I don't want to be a whiner about it, and I know I'm whining a little bit about it, but it is kind of a... It is kind of an issue where I feel like, come on, is this really? It's not like we're trying to say, hey, can we just put this thing on there about how we have snakes for dicks and try to be funny?
Yeah.
Like, it's verifiable information that is useful to our community.
It's useful, totally.
So, what is it that we need to do to, you know, you guys are a group of volunteers, but then can I have my own group of volunteers go through and change it back constantly?
Do we put it up on the Nerdist site? Like have someone aggregate it on the Nerdist site on a page, and then maybe then someone would go and knock it over.
If the two point to each other, I think that would help.
Okay, I will have that done.
And there are people that'll help you do that, right? You know, it's like, hey, Nerdist people, go to this Google spreadsheet and you know,
well,
make sure
I'll have it.
The
I'll have it built. I'll have it built so that it looks all pretty, so we can so we can actually.
I just need to get the
fold it onto the site.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll source it on the Nerdist site, which is great. See, already it's good that you're here.
Yeah.
Besides your other fucking comments.
which I love.
He says while texting.
On his white iPhone. Oh, Myra.
I was almost thinking about
it. I couldn't get it. Like,
I'm leaning towards
white.
Don't
get it, Jonah.
Mm-mm.
Don't.
Why?
Don't waste the money on the 4S.
Oh,
let me say this to
everybody. No. I want the 4S because of the video is so much better than any
other. Oh, okay.
I need it for accessibility of shooting bits.
The video and the camera's good.
I want to know when you answer with Siri and you say fuck to Siri, does she say 12 like Chris got on the podcast?
That was weird. I don't know why that happened.
It was like, yeah.
What did you say?
I said fuck, and her response was, you have 12 choices or something along those lines.
Yes.
Fuck. Edge network, so this is going to take a little while.
You're not on the Wi-Fi here?
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
Oh, adorbs.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that, she says. I'll get back to you later, she says.
You called something else out, and it was like, you know, pulling celebrities out of your phone. It was like,
you know,
humble brag.
I think what happened was, you know, I was doing that in the Aladdin Theater.
It was Portland,
and it was loud.
Yes.
And I think it just, like, the noise of the theater just crouched. I don't know what happened. I can't, you know, I can't justify why she... Fuck me like that in the face.
It was
in front
very
of
humble brag. It was awesome.
What? Who humble bragged?
Well, what happened?
I don't remember these things that people remember. That's so.
I want to find out a little bit about how the Wikipedia process works. Like, so how do you become a volunteer editor?
You just walk onto the site like you did, right? And it's like, I want to edit this, and you start editing things that you're interested in.
Now I know that I mean, listen, you know, especially, I know hackers in particular are hugely in support of open source, and I'm definitely in support of open source to a degree, but then I also feel like at a certain point, it's difficult to sustain because you need sort of a unified something once it gets to a certain point just to make sure that everything's running smoothly and that people aren't.
Yeah, you have to have the core. And for a while in Wikipedia, it's like all you were doing is getting rid of the vandalism on pages, you know?
Right.
Just people putting crap, you know? High school kids, you know, putting silly stuff. I mean, it's like, what makes Peter Hardwick seem like brilliant?
So how do you figure out, are you given like a slice of Wikipedia?
Whatever you're interested in.
So you go to something you're interested in, and then you just start fact checking the whole thing to see if you can find sources for the information.
Yeah. And then you see things that have changed, and it's like, oh, somebody went and changed that. Well, let me quickly revert it and remove that. And that's how a lot of it happens, is you see, you know, so-and-so edited this page, or, you know, some random person edited the page, and you're like, oh, well, that's obviously vandalism, and you know, it's really fast to get rid of it.
Right.
If vandals knew how fast it was, it would really stop a lot of the simple stuff.
Does Wikipedia communicate with you in any way, or do you?
Ted.
People communicate with each other, but not really with Wikimedia, Wikipedia itself. But, you know, like, people that are interested in certain topics. I do a lot with the Oregon-based articles, so, you know, it's like I know a lot of those people and have met them, and, you know, we chat and work.
Do you know
on
Orange Mike's address so I can send him a box of dicks?
No, he would probably like that.
Whoa, he would probably like that box of dicks, man. Listen, he might be a perfectly nice guy if he reached out and said, oh, you know, I didn't mean.
Well, Chris, Orange Mike, come on out.
Oh my God, you guys, this is amazing.
It's me.
Yeah.
Put your motorcycle helmet on.
What if it's like the Lantern universe and there's like a green mic and a fucking an indigo mic, and the orange mic is just the hateful one?
Aww. My favorite music group is the Indigo Mics.
The Indigo Mics were so good.
Are they dating each other,
the Mics?
I think so.
Yeah. I was wondering about that.
I think they used to, but now they don't, but they're still in the band.
Yeah. You know, they just got the best music together when they really had that romantic friction.
I really miss Lilith Fair now that we're talking about it.
What?
Yep.
Did you ever go to Lilith Fair?
I did.
I wasn't.
Not
I went once.
I went to go because Fiona Apple and Jewel were there. Yes, that's more of the music.
But you were there for Four Non Blondes.
I was there for Four Non Blondes.
Because you woke up in the morning and you stepped outside, took a big breath, and you got real high.
Jonah!
And I said, hey.
Hey, yeah.
I screamed at the top of my lungs.
What going?
Tedder, I'm going to start Hard Wikipedia.
Hard Wikipedia.
What about Wikipedia, the Boston Encyclopedia?
Wikipedia. Where everything's just Bostonized?
Yeah. All it says every page is Jeter's a fucking queer. Every page.
Well, then we get the SF version.
I don't get that joke.
What's the SF
sports person?
Helipedia? Yeah.
So, what is it? How long does it take? Like, how many pages do you get through? How much time do you devote to it?
I probably spend 40 minutes a day. I've spent longer than that, but, you know, it's Clay Shirky wrote about cognitive surplus, and it's that whole idea of it's what you do in the evening when you could be watching TV or doing other dumb shit, is you actually, like, feel like you improved the world a little bit. So, but I don't usually worry about improving the world about podcast pages. Well, for some reason, I've written lots of articles about high schools and parks.
Oh, that's cool.
They don't complain much.
Hey, that's the nice thing. Update the Lowell Catholic page. They need some work.
Lowell Catholic.
That's my high school.
They have a Wikipedia?
Yeah. They do. Does your high school not have a Wikipedia?
No, it probably does. I don't know.
I'm sure mine does.
I don't really go back and try to live in the past.
I do. I enjoy it.
Chris,
that
was one of the things you changed was the school you went to in Tennessee that wasn't listed on Wikipedia, and then you changed that, like, back in June.
Well, the school that I went to, the name changed. Like, there was an ownership change in the school. I went to a grade school in Memphis called Auburndale. It was bought by the Catholic Church after I left and became St. Benedict's. or maybe St. Benedict's at Auburndale or something, but the name of the school changed.
Did you make it in the newsletter?
I don't know.
So that is a trippy obsessive story about you, though, is that on a Wootstock with you and Will Wheaton, you were talking about, you know, kind of growing up and meeting at UCLA and, you know, the movie that you saw and all that kind of stuff.
Arachnophobia.
Like, yep. So I went and, you know, grabbed it on Wikipedia really quick and started, you know, citing all that stuff that wasn't on there before. It was like, so all of a sudden this stuff showed up about your what, late teen, early 20s life?
That was cool.
Like insanely, you know, when do you ever talk about time with Will Wheaton?
Well, that
time with Will Wheaton. That should be a great podcast.
Time with Will Wheaton.
It does have a Wikipedia.
Nice.
And I am not on the notable alumni.
Well, hello, internet.
No, please don't.
Don't contact me.
I'm on mine. Yeah. That's only because we have three.
I know. I was in a fraternity for like half a semester, and yeah. I still people contact me. They're like, "Hey, brother," and I'm like, "Don't," because yeah. I hate that shit.
Yeah, please.
And I left. Like on the crib sheet when you go to get interviewed, like you know, on TV stations or whatever, and they're like, "So, I see you were in this fraternity, or you know,
oh my god,
crazy like
no,
singled out
like,
type
I was
things.
I was 17 and I was stupid, yeah. and that's all I can say about that.
It just seems like one of those, like, you know, might know Chris from Singled Out and from the Blah Blah Fraternity.
There's a no! Like, 17 and stupid. Yeah, yeah. 17 and you left. So, do you feel, in your honest opinion, do you feel like the system works for the most part?
I think it works for the most part, but, you know, that could be 80%, and there's millions of articles, so... There's always going to be a big percentage that are problems. And you just don't tend to see very much of that unless you're involved in it like this. So, you know, this is a gray area. We'll make it better, you know, like Nerdist fans and Wikipedians and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Because a Wikipedian is a very specific kind of nerd.
Oh, yes. A
Wikipedian.
They are.
I like that.
They are very specific kinds yes. of nerds. And I certainly respect that. But at the same time... Like, it's just some interpretations of the thing, of the guidelines yes. are a little, you know, they're based on someone's opinion.
Yeah.
That is just could be anybody, really.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are coming in like they're authorities, but they're no better or worse than you or me.
No. Yeah. And there's a process for answering some of those questions, but it doesn't always work very well. And you know, but you've
like
got,
in this case,
yeah, like in this case, but you know, you've got people that really like rules and really like structure, and that is a specific type of nerd,
right?
Might even be in the DSM, but you know, DSM-IV, but you know, it's a very specific type.
But I feel like there are definitely precedents if we're following rules that say that it's okay for some other shows.
Yeah, it's enough of a gray area. There's no problem.
That
we'll make it better.
Politics, man.
I tell you, man. This is what they're talking about with politics.
So that'd be the other title would be, you know, Nerdist for 2012.
Nerdist yeah. for 2012. Chad, since we have you here, do you have any quements?
Or a question? That's a comment.
Okay, I did put one up.
That's
the other
a question
day.
And a comment and a quement.
You should have saw us in our heyday of this song, man. We really used to.
We got really into it.
For like an episode or two, and then
it's been yeah, the
Jesus Christ!
You know what happened to us, man?
I don't know
politics, man.
How do the Eagles play Lion Eyes every night? What, they don't play together.
You have a great sponsor that does domain name registration,
Hover.
And you said just off the cuff, you're like, "Hey, Marshmallow Nipples." So I went and registered marshmallownipples.com, and that now goes to Nerdist.com. So
nice. know,
if anyone ever types in their browser marshmallownipples.com, they're going to see Chris Hardwick, and they're going to go, "What the hell?"
Tedder
what,
on the attack.
You know what we should do is we should just add a quick like. 2 second page where you see marshmallows on nipple on tits.
Oh, flash it, then it just
and redirects. Then it goes to Nerdist.
Here's the thing: it was ultimately a $14 joke that is only funny for a short amount of time. That I'm the only one that's ever going to really understand. No.
That's why you know, do stuff, like, though.
It's so
that
stupid.
That is the
right?
best
it's
reason
awesome.
To do stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, those are the best jokes.
The best reason to do stuff, man.
It's awesome in a year when the registration comes due. I'm like, what the hell is this to me?
Hey. I'll pay it for you next year.
Next year, $14.
That's saying a lot.
Chrissy and Matt Myra, if he hadn't spent all his money on Bargain Hunt DVDs and weird left-handed guitars.
I just want weird left-handed guitars. They're just guitars that happen to be left-handed.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
But they're also really weird.
Why?
Because they're left-handed.
I don't understand. Jimi Hendrix is left-handed.
Listen, the word sinister means left.
Is oh.
In Latin. From the left
wow.
side.
I have I'm asking no you clue. And
because you're Wikipedia.
I don't have today. Reception in this room on my phone or else I'd look it up.
Yeah, but I
do.
AP Latin.
Yeah.
See?
Sinister.
That's me.
Means from the left. You. From the left side. From the left.
So how many left-handed guitars do you have?
How many left-handed guitars do I have? I have three in storage in Florida.
Florida.
And I have at home seven.
Wow.
10 guitars.
Yeah.
Well, that sounded like, yeah.
Everyone collects something, I guess.
I don't collect guitars. I just happen to have a lot.
No, when you have 10, that's collecting.
Is
yeah,
it?
That's, a guitar collection. Especially with something as nice and expensive as a guitar.
Well, it's like being a cat lady. You know, there's a certain number that when you go over that, you're that. You're over the wherever that bright line is, you're over it.
Here's my problem with having so many guitars is actually finding places for the cases. Because I have the guitars out, but the cases take up an ass load of room.
Why don't you just put them in their cases?
The cases?
Why don't you just put them in the cases?
Because I like them out because they look better than just cases. And then also when I'm playing guitar.
How do your roommates feel about your guitars being everywhere?
They're not everywhere. They're in one space in the dining room. And that's because my room is so small.
Yes.
And I pay the same amount of rent.
Was it an email that you sent me?
They're like,
so they're fine with
here,
it?
Here, put your desk in the dining room and have your guitars. That's what I did.
Yeah. Do we have any more equipments?
Well, we do have
I'm
an
on
interest-
Wi-Fi. Should I look them up?
We don't have any more equipments, Ted. Come on.
Did you send me another one, Ted?
No, it was in the long one I sent you earlier today.
Was this about, let's see. Do you have it on your device?
So, no, because I don't have coverage. Hodgman had this great quote on a podcast here in LA on public radio. That was basically Wikipedia is all about all these individual fiefdoms of knowledge and shepherding. Yeah.
I found it. This was a meaty email.
TLDR. Jeez.
Hodgman said on KPCC here in LA, Wikipedia obviously is one of my favorite sources for dubious scholarship. I really do love Wikipedia, but that is a world of self-appointed experts, many of whom are extremely passionate about their little individual fiefdoms there, but it is a self-appointed expertise that is defining our culture now. That is a very dense quote.
Yeah, and it's like half funny and half like, oh shit, right?
Well, it is a little bit of oh shit because when you think about, you know that old idea of like history is written by the victors kind of a thing. Well, history is being written by people that we don't really know who they are.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that they're citing this information properly. But they have a weird amount of power because, and this is something of the point that I tried to make to fucking Orange Mike, was, you know, because you guys have such strong SEO, I wish people didn't use Wikipedia as their main source of information, but they do.
Yes.
And so your organization is different than maybe as what it started out being. And as such, I feel like the responsibilities have changed a little bit of what you need to uphold and how you need to be presented to our society.
But publishing truth and having lots of information aren't really the same thing, right? If you're complaining on one hand about the information on my page was wrong forever, yet why don't you publish this information?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the information that was wrong shouldn't have been there, but it got corrected.
Yes.
The other stuff, there's nothing to back it up besides the Nerdist podcast. It hasn't been in, you know, mainstream news or things like that where you can say, you
Not
know,
yet.
We know for sure Chris Hardwick's age because it's been reported in the press a million times.
Right.
And so getting to that like primary source thing is kind of a sticky point, which is how do you crack that chicken and egg? Wow, bad pun.
How do you crack that chicken?
You
the first thing is you're not supposed to crack a chicken, Ted.
What are you supposed to do with the chicken?
Eat it out.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Don't eat out chickens, people. Don't eat out chickens.
Why not?
Because you'll get a mouthful of egg.
Ooh. Again, why not?
You're right. But anyway, I don't, you know, I certainly hope that I didn't come across as too aggressive. I certainly appreciate all that you've done to try to maintain the veracity of information that you have, you know, that you've been involved with. And I do know the Wikipedians. I know it's a tremendous undertaking and it's not like I'm out doing it. So, you know, but I would just appreciate a little respect for our community and it is valid to us and, you know, and it's not, it is verifiable information and I don't feel like it's extraneous. So
I think the dude that hosted Nick Arcade just walked by.
Uh-oh.
I swear to God. Anyway.
Well, that was a good
such a distracting window.
That was a good kick to the balls of momentum.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's what I do, guys. So
you really Myra'd it out there.
Hey, thanks, Myra Matt.
Myra Matt.
So, do you want to explain to the Nerdist podcast fans what the studio looks like? Like, why it is that you get distracted by the window?
Do you not?
We're in the lobby of E, basically. We're in G4, so it's a glass box that's in the lobby of E, so we see people coming and going.
Yeah,
constantly.
And actually, our next guest has just arrived for the podcast that we're going to record.
How did you see that? Through the window.
Oh, he texted me.
Oh.
So I saw it on my smartphone device. But Ted, thank you so much. I mean, again, I really appreciate what you're doing and thank you for coming on. And I didn't want to just come and fucking rant about Wikipedia without at least hearing some of the other side of it. So, you know, I appreciate that. I understand what you guys are up against and I understand what the guidelines are, but you know, I do think that let's just have
Let's find the happy medium between like having the wrong information and having no information.
We will post. We will give you sources to cite.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you so
like
much.
A list of episodes on a separate page, just like Top Gear. Because when I go, hey, when did they build giant limos? I just go to the episode list page and Control F limo, and then I see it.
But you wait until that airs on BBC America.
This is awkward.
Sure.
Yes, of course it is. Yeah. You know, you just watch it in the first
BBC
run.
America. I always watch it on BBC America.
Not DVR'd. You watch it when it airs.
I love taking an hour and 27 minutes to watch an hour show. It's great.
Yes. Yep. It's good stuff.
9 months after it airs.
Oh, good.
All us Top Gear fans. Okay.
All right, guys. We got to run. Ted, good to see you again.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll see you at more Nerdist activities. You can come to a taping of the Nerdist show when we do it in December if you want.
Excellent.
You be our guest. And if Orange Mike, if you're out there listening, fuck yourself. But if you were not being mean to me, then unfuck yourself. And I'm certainly willing to make nice with you.
He didn't get this far into the podcast.
He's not listened to this podcast
He's
ever.
He's listening.
No, but people are going to find him on Wikipedia. He's going to get shit.
Isn't that
now.
What people do? Like, hey, you talk crap about so-and-so. Here it is.
Yeah. That's, they love to.
Yeah,
they
that's
love
the best
it.
Thing to do if someone is shitty to you on Twitter, to me on Twitter, I'll just retweet them. No comment, just retweet them, and then people deal with it.
It's kind of funny, though. When that happens,
like if you're listening to this, don't fuck with Orange Mike, you guys.
Yeah,
please don't fuck with Orange Mike. He's a guy trying to do the best job that he can do.
He's right.
He's not right.
Like them Republicans.
He's not right. He's not right.
Politics.
But, no,
he does. But don't fuck with him. He's just trying to do a job that he's not paid for. Which,
thank you, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't.
Kind of like us with the first year of the podcast.
I do thank you for coming on, and I do hope that you continue to enjoy your Wikipedia burrito. Ted.
My Wikipedia burrito. Woo.
Yep. Your Wiki Rito.
Oh, how many carbs is that?
It's 2 terabytes worth of carbs.
Oh, that's a lot. I can't eat that.
If I can remember the number they said of how much that
on the Enterprise.
It was a crazy number. That's how many carbs it was.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot of carbs.
I guess I shouldn't have started
good
talking.
Good story.
And then we jerked off.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter Federal Agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.